In a few moments, you'll experience the live stream from LifePoint Church. I'm so glad that you're here to join us for that experience. At our church, our mission is to influence people to find and follow Jesus. We want to see people find Jesus, in other words, believe in him for their salvation. And then after that, we want to see those believers follow Christ in a life of wholehearted devotion. All of our energy and effort is put into serving you, helping you experience that. So maybe you're joining us from another part of the world or another state in the United States. We're glad that you're here. My encouragement to you would be wherever you are in the world, find a local body of believers to get involved with. Don't let this be your church alone. And then for those of you that are in our local area or maybe even part of our church family, perhaps some of you are on vacation or some of you have kids that are sick or for whatever reason you decided to stay in this weekend. And I would just invite you to consider not using our live stream as a substitute for the church experience. Make sure you're involved in community. We have the wonder of technology to take advantage of experiencing a service through computer and in our own homes, but that's not the church. I would invite you to come and be part of community. You can do that especially through small groups here at our church. I would invite you to get connected with people, share life together, be part of what God is doing in each other's lives. It's a very powerful thing. And then, of course, as you're watching via live stream, I would invite you to participate in the act of worship through giving. I would encourage you to go on to our website, lifepointchurch.us. There you can find a tab to click, and you can be a part of this experience through the giving of your gifts. My deepest prayer is that God would use the experience of this service to change you, to draw you closer to himself. I hope you enjoy this time together.
When the angels went away into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, that the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger.
All right. Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. That was okay. We can get better. Merry Christmas. There we go. We're about a week away from Christmas. Believe it or not, I know, it goes fast, right? So as we're getting near to the Christmas season, my name's John, I'm one of the pastors here, and I get to lead us today through the third week of our series called Wonder. And Wonder is our lead up to Christmas. It's this idea about the wonder that the shepherds experienced when they first heard about Jesus from the angel speaking to them. So I'm thinking about this word wonder, and I'm thinking about what it involves, and it seems like every time there's a situation where we really are in awe and wonder. Now, I know we use the word wonder a lot, like we say awesome or we say great or amazing, and we don't really mean it that way. But when we're truly awestruck, when we are truly in wonder and awe at the amazing thing that happened or the amazing experience we had, then there are two pieces that are always a part of that wonderful experience. The first thing is the experience itself. There's some kind of wonderful experience that we have, and then based off of that, that causes a wonderful response, right? So there's an experience and a response. And I think about that. I started thinking through some times in my life when I've been in awe and wonder. And I remember my wedding day, and I remember the back of the church and the doors opening and my wife walking down the aisle wearing this dress, and I was just awestruck. I mean, I look stupid in the pictures. I was just, oh my goodness. And she was beautiful. I'm like, I'm wondering, why is she marrying me? I'm wonder at this beautiful moment. I remember my kids being born and seeing these two boys, and I get to hold them. And man, I felt like a moron. I don't know what I'm doing. I really was dumbfounded where I couldn't speak. I said, this child is so beautiful, and I didn't know what to say. I was just in tears, and it was joyful. It was beautiful. I remember when I was going through kind of a spiritual, I don't want to call it a crisis, but just a time when I was really seeking the Lord and trying to find what he would have next for me. I had a chance to go to Europe, and I was sitting on top of a hill in a vineyard in France, and you can overlook this hill into Switzerland, and you just see miles and miles of beautiful country, and I was awestruck, and I had this prayer time with God, and it was so powerful. And I think there are those moments when we are just in awe and wonder. And I wonder, when's the last time that we felt that? When's the last time that we've been truly awestruck? And how do we respond? When we experience that wonder, how do we respond? See, because here at LifePoint, we believe that too. We believe that if you have an experience where you encounter the wonder of who Jesus is, then man, you're going to have a wonderful response. If you really encounter the majesty and the glory of who Jesus is, then there's a wonderful response. That's why we say our mission is to influence people to find and follow Jesus. Because we exist for that purpose, helping people encounter the wonder of Jesus and then having that wonderful response. So as I'm thinking about this, I started to think we all are pretty much, if you're here, if you're a regular LifePoint attender, if you're around for most of what we do, you kind of get that idea, right? You get the feeling like, okay, we have a mission, we're going to influence people to find and follow Jesus. But when that comes to the point of it being for all people, I think that kind of rubs us the wrong way. Now, we don't want to admit it, and we don't like it, because it means we're kind of selfish. But honestly, there are some people that we just frankly don't like, right? There are some people that we're not big fans of, and we're thinking, yeah, this gospel thing is for me and my friends, but when it comes to these people, I don't care. Or I don't want them to hear it. We think there's this distance, but what if God says this is for all who would believe? What if our mission became to influence every person to find and follow Jesus? Imagine what that church could look like. Imagine the idea that it's not about me and my friends and me and my preferences, but it's about this message, this gospel, this good news that's for all people. So that's what I want us to look at today. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2. If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open up your Bible. Look at Luke chapter 2. You can pull it up on your phone or in a hard copy. If you don't have a Bible, I want you to hear that we believe that this Bible, not just this one, but like lots, all the Bibles, we believe that the Bible is God's word, that it really is what he spoke to us. This is how the infinite, almighty God speaks to his people. And because of that, he says, I want you to know this, because there's truth and there's life and there's salvation in these pages, and we want you to have it. So if you don't have a Bible, I don't want you to leave here not having a Bible. We have Bibles at the welcome desk right out there for you. You can go right now and get one, or you can wait till the end of service, but we would love for you to have a Bible. We want to give you that because we believe this is true. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at these words. We're going to put them up here on the screen. If you don't have it with you, you can look up here. But I want us to read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, and get a little bit of the context of what the shepherds were experiencing. So check this out. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, because this is God's word and because it's so powerful and life-changing, I'd love to pray for our time right now. Let me do that. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you for this time that we have to look at your word and to see what it is that you want to say to us. God, I pray that we would get this idea that your word is for all, that the gospel is for all who would believe. And I pray that in this time it would not be about me or anybody else in this room, but it would be your Holy Spirit that speaks to us in this time. I commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if we get this idea that the gospel is for all, the good news, when we say that word gospel, it just means good news. The good news about Jesus is for all people. If we really get that, it's a very simple, basic message. This is simple, but it's not something that we often apply. It's something that we hear, it's something we may even say, and it's something we may know, but it's not something we often apply to our lives. If we apply it, if we actually do it, then man, it'll change the way we live. Because we have this wonderful experience with Jesus, and then it changes our response into something wonderful that's bigger than just ourselves. So let's take a look at what the shepherds heard from the angel, okay? Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Now, I highlighted two words there, right? Angel and good news. And the reason those are highlighted is because they come from the same root word. Remember, angel just means this messenger, right? So an angel is a messenger of God speaking what God has to say to the people. This angel is bringing a message to the people. And then the word that's translated good news, where we get the word gospel, it's that same idea. It's that just good message. So basically, this is saying there's a messenger with a good message. There's a messenger that has something good to say, and you need to hear it. Now, what's that message? Look at the next verse, Luke chapter 2, verse 11. "For today, in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, we hear that, and it doesn't register with us in the way that I think it would have for the shepherds and for all who heard that. Because what you have to consider is there are literally thousands and thousands of years of Jewish civilization, the Hebrew people, hearing this promise from God that he's going to restore his people, that he's going to bring about salvation to his people. There's this Messiah, this Savior that's coming, and he's coming someday. He's coming someday. Then this angel appears to these shepherds, and he says, "It's not someday anymore. It's today. It's right now. This Savior has been born." This arrival of Jesus brings the promises of God from someday to today. It brings the promises of God from future tense that's undefined to present tense right now. He has been born today. That is good news, and that's what the angel wants to share. But he doesn't just share it with no audience. If it's just a message that doesn't get shared, it's not really a message, it's just an idea. But if it's a message that goes to someone, then it becomes a message that gets broadcasted and shared. So who's the intended audience? Who's supposed to hear this message? We'll back up a verse and look at Luke 2:10 again. It says, "And the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people.'" For all the people. Now we say, well, sure, of course, for all the people that I like. Or for all the people that I know. Or for all the people that are here. But he's saying it's for all the people. Remember who's hearing this. These are shepherds. Shepherds who are not usually included. They're not the ones who are the religious elite. They're not the ones who people go to ask questions about God. They're not the ones who have this special knowledge. They're not those guys. They're out there working late at night with animals, kind of dirty, kind of far off from everybody else. They're sort of left out. Have you ever felt left out? Man, it stinks, doesn't it? Nobody likes feeling left out. If you look at social media now and you see that picture of what happened last night with all your friends, and you're like, I didn't know they were getting together. I feel kind of left out. Wow, I didn't know that was going to happen. I remember in sixth grade, my friend, who I thought was a friend, he wrote me a note. He wrote me a note in class, and he passed it to me, and he was telling me that he wasn't going to hang out with me because, and I quote, "Sometimes you act like kind of a nerd." It's okay to laugh, I'm over it, but here's the thing, is I felt pretty left out, right? I felt like I was, okay, I'm kind of a nerd. Wow, you don't want anything to do with me. I felt left out. But what's amazing about this good news that the shepherds are hearing is these people who are left out are suddenly let in. And then this message goes to all the people. Now we hear that, we're like, yeah, shepherds, cool. But Do we really think about the people that we would separate ourselves from? Do we really think it's good news for all the people? I printed off this list of categories that usually, I think these are the kind of categories we would consider as people having something wrong. And that's usually why we don't want to include somebody, right? Is we think they're wrong about something. And because they're wrong, they're obviously not as smart as I am. And so I don't want them to be a part of my crew or my group. And I don't want them to hear my message. So think about this. We think about people who have the wrong affiliations, the wrong associations, they're the wrong part of a wrong group. They have the wrong behavior. They don't act the way that I think they should. They have the wrong ethnicity. They were at the wrong event. Or they treated me bad at some moment and event in my life. They're the wrong gender. They speak the wrong language. They're the wrong nationality. They're in the wrong place. They're the wrong political party. Man, what country are we in? They have the wrong medical condition or the wrong physical deformity or the wrong physical appearance or the wrong popularity level or the wrong social status, the wrong sexual orientation, the wrong socioeconomic status. They're the wrong kind of people that I want to share this with. Now, man, sometimes there is sin wrapped up in that, and we can call sin sin, but the gospel is for all who would believe. And what we see here is this word "for all" is the same word that's in John 3:16, when it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes," that whoever, all who would believe, same root word, "that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." A couple weeks ago, I had the opportunity to attend our Celebrate Recovery ministry, which happens here at LifePoint on Thursdays. And for those of you who don't know, Celebrate Recovery is a ministry that helps people recover from hurts, habits, and hangups. So they're dealing with all kinds of different things in this room. And I remember really distinctly and clearly, it was this beautiful moment where they were singing this song. We're all singing this song, "Fear is a Liar." Together, we sang that here a couple weeks ago, and there's a line in there that says, "They told you you're not worthy." And I thought, how many times have people in this room felt that they're worthless? Had somebody say, "You're an addict, I don't want anything to do with you." But they're there celebrating the fact that the gospel is for all who would believe. That's what we want to get a hold of, is this idea that the gospel is for all who would put their faith and trust in Jesus. The gospel is for all who would believe. And so because of that, we have a message and we have an intended audience, all. But how does the message get to all the people? We don't really have angels appearing out of the sky very often. God has called his people, the church, to go and share the gospel. Jesus left these words to his followers in this thing called the Great Commission. We're going to read a verse from it. It's Matthew 28, verse 19. It says this: "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Guess what? The word "all" is the same root word that's in John 3:16. It's the same root word that's in Luke 2:10. It's this idea, all the nations. And it's expanding to all ethne. That word, we get ethnic from ethne, from nations. That idea that it's supposed to go all over. This is not something that's just for this limited group of Jewish people anymore. It's the gospel of salvation to the world. So when we understand that, when we understand, when we get that the message of the gospel is so good, that it really is good news, and when we get that that good news is for all the people, our response has to be that we share it with all the people. Right? It has to be. It has to be that way. If not, we're missing something. If we can say, "Yeah, this is great news, I love it, and I'm just keeping it to myself," then we're missing something. If we say this is great news and I'm not going to share it with anybody, we're missing something. We have to respond by sharing it with all the people. So my question is this: if we believe that it really is good news, why don't we share it? If we believe this is the gospel of salvation, the good news that brings life to people who are dead, if this is the gospel and it saves people for eternity, why won't we share it? You know, it's sad. A lot of times in churches, I meet people who can tell me all kinds of church stuff. They can tell me all about doctrine and theology, and they can tell me all about church history and these great authors that they've read and these philosophers that they understand and all that stuff, but they've never shared the gospel with anybody. And they're missing it. They're missing it. I meet with a lot of couples who are considering marriage, and as I meet with these couples, we talk about what your plans are for marriage and thinking about relationships and those kind of things. And they can tell me every detail of how they met and what they were wearing and what she smelled like and all these kind of, like, they can go into all the details about each other, but they can't articulate their faith. I say, what do you think about Jesus? And they're like, oh, well, you know, I try to be good. I try to go to church sometimes. Man, you're missing it. We're missing something there. So why don't we share the gospel? Well, I think there are probably three reasons. There can be lots of reasons, right? But I think these three capture several of the reasons. So these are what I would call common objections to sharing the gospel. Now that word, the messenger, the word about angel, the word about good news, that word is where we get the word evangelism. Evangelism means sharing the gospel, that this good news. The reason that we share the good news is because God spoke it to us to be shared. But these are the ways that we have objections to evangelism. So let's check out these three objections. Common objections, right? The first one that I hear people say is they say, I'm not ready yet. I mean, I've kind of been around the church thing a little bit. I'm just not really ready to share the gospel. I'm not totally ready yet. The second one is, I don't know what to say. Like, I'm just not sure how to put this. I don't know what to say about it. I don't get it. And then the third is, well, I've never done it before. I don't know what people are going to do if I do share the gospel. Can I tell you this? The gospel is this message, so basic and so true. It's that God created us for relationship with Him. And we, of our own choice, rejected God. And because we're made for relationship with God, we have this closeness with Him. That's exactly what we're created for. Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden, all that stuff. That's how it was. But then we rejected God and we're lost. And so we're longing for that relationship. And we try to fill ourselves up with all kinds of other stuff as poor substitutes for that relationship that we're created for. And we try philanthropy, we try good works, we try love and sex and dating, and we try money and fame. We try all these different things to fill ourselves up, and it leaves us wanting because nothing fills us up like what we're made for. So because of that, God makes a promise to redeem His people. And we can't get back in right relationship with Him. So He comes to us. He appears in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, right? Emmanuel, God with us. That's what the word Emmanuel means, is God with us. So He's with us. He dies on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And then He rises again gloriously from the grave so that we have life in Him. And then it's nothing that we have to do or can even do to earn right relationship with Him. It's only through the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So through that, then there's this ability to have right relationship with God. But He doesn't just say, well, I want you to have this good relationship and then sit back and feel good about yourself. He doesn't say that. And that's where a lot of us stop. What He says is, I want you to have this relationship and then go and share. You're sent on a mission. You're sent with a purpose. If you're a follower of Jesus in this room, you are sent on a mission to share the gospel. If you're not a follower of Jesus, we're so glad that you're here. We love that you're hearing this truth, because I believe this truth really does set you free and give eternal life. I believe that. But what I want us to do right now, just with the few minutes that we have left, is I want us to overcome these objections, because this is what stops us from doing what we're made to do. This is what stops us from sharing the gospel. So here's the deal. The first thing, I'm not ready yet. The shepherds weren't ready either. They're just doing their work. Bless you. They're doing their work in the middle of this field at night, and they're just approached by this angel, and then what do? They don't have theological training. They go, bless you again. They go and they go and tell people what they saw. They said, man, this angel spoke and he said Jesus was born. He said there's a Savior born in the city of David today. They told how they heard about Jesus. If eternity is at stake, there's an urgency to the gospel and we have to share it. So you say you're not ready yet, and I say if you're a follower of Jesus, you're ready. The second thing, I don't know what to say. Shepherds didn't know what to say either. But what'd they do? This is how I heard about Jesus. The end. They didn't go into, you know, what other theologians said about it. This is how I heard about Jesus. Start there. The basics of what you share about your story is, there was this time when I had no understanding or knowledge of Jesus. Then I heard about Jesus somehow. And then things kind of changed somehow. Or they're changing. Or I'm still kind of thinking about what to change. But we've all heard Jesus. And then there's some. Maybe you heard him for the first time today, this morning. That's great. I'm glad you heard about him. But you've probably heard about him before this morning. How did you first hear about him? That's all we need to share. The third thing, and this is a tough one, right? I've never done it before. So if we say, I've never done it before, that means we're going to do it right now. So I know, if you're an introvert, you're going to scream inside in just a minute, but hold on. Here's what I want us to do, okay? Is I want us to take just literally 1 minute and share how you first heard about Jesus with somebody that you don't know. So in this room, I want you to find somebody that you don't know, and I want you to go up to them and say, hi, my name's John, I like cheese, and you don't have to say that, but here's how I first heard about Jesus. And you tell them, we're gonna put a clock up on the screen, and the timer's gonna go, and you can go find a partner and just share. And for 1 minute, I just want you to share how you heard about Jesus. That's it, 1 minute, that's it, 60 seconds. And then we're gonna stop, and you're going to switch. And you listen to somebody else tell you about how they heard Jesus. That's all. I promise we're going to get through this, okay? All right? On your marks, get set, go. Find a partner. Find somebody. Seconds. All right, switch. All right, 20 seconds to get back to your seat. All right, bring it back. Grab a seat, grab a seat. Now here's the deal. We all just shared about how we first heard about Jesus. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, you've heard about him somehow. You shared what you heard about him, and we're all still alive? Like we all made it through this? Here's the deal. If it's good news, it's good news worth sharing. I like to think about it kind of like social media, right? You can like something, you can subscribe to it or follow it, and then you can share it. Right? I think we can like a lot of stuff and like, yeah, I like Jesus. But that's about where it stops. We can even subscribe to it. I get Jesus updates in my email, in my inbox, and I really get this info. Or we can share it. We can post on other people's wall. We can blow up somebody's inbox. You know, that's what the shepherds were doing. They're filling up news feeds. They're like, look what we heard. Check it out. Like, that's what we should be doing with this faith. Because if it really is good news that's for all, then our mission is for all. Our mission becomes we have to share this with everybody. Now, we said we had some objections to why we don't do this. But we're all ready. We know what to say now. And we've all done it, right? So there are no excuses. We've all done it. We've overcome these objections together here today. I love that. I think that's beautiful. Let's go do it this week. Your homework assignment, ready, is to find one person this week that you don't know and just to tell them about how you first heard about Jesus. And again, it doesn't have to be a weird thing like, hi, Jesus taught. Like, it doesn't have to be awkward like that. It can just be, hey, you know, what are you thinking about Christmas? What are your plans? Do you celebrate Christmas? Why? What do you think about that? We celebrate Christmas. We think about Jesus. Here's how I first heard about him. Okay, it takes a minute. We just did it in a minute. You can do this. This is the plan that God has for his people. If we can't do it here, we can't do it out there. Let's go do it. Let's get involved in this thing called evangelism. This is what God calls us to. And it's awesome that he chooses to use his people to do this. I just think it's such a privilege. It is a mission for all people. Let's get out there and share the gospel for all. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for how good you are. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that sets us free. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for coming, for dying on the cross and rising again so that we can have life in you. God, thank you. Help us to be the kind of people who understand that this is a call to share the gospel. It is good news, and it is for all the people, for all who would believe. May we be active in that this week, God. And may we remember to invite people to Christmas services. May we remember to reach out to those who may not be here, and we can bring them here to hear the good news of the gospel. We can share ourselves. God, there are so many ways that we can do that. But I pray you use us to spread your good news. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.